why do you ask me to do this thing? She sat across the marble table from me, her back to the open doors of the cafe. I struck her as a wonder, but my requests had distracted her. She no longer stared at me so much as she looked into my eyes. She was tall and had kept her dark brown hair loose and long all her life, save for a leather barrette such as she wore now, which held only her forelocks behind her head to flow down her back. She wore gold hoops dangling from her small earlobes, and her soft white summer clothes had a gypsy flair to them, perhaps because of the red scarf tied around the waist of her full cotton skirt. "And to do such a thing for such a being?" she asked warmly. Not angry with me, no, but so moved that she could not conceal it, even with her smooth, compelling voice. "To bring up a spirit that may be filled with anger and a desire for vengeance. To do this, you ask me, for Louis de Pointe-du-Lac, one who is already beyond life himself." "Who else can I ask, Merrick?" I answered. "Who else can do such a thing?" I pronounced her name simply, in the American style, though years ago, when we'd first met, she had spelled it M-E-R-R-I-Q-U-E, and pronounced it with the slight touch of her old French. There was a rough sound from the kitchen door, the creak of neglected hinges. A wraith of a waiter in a soiled apron appeared at our side, his feet scratching against the dusty flagstones of the floor. "Rum," she said. "St. James, bring a bottle of it." He murmured something which, even with my vampiric hearing, I did not bother to catch, and away he shuffled, leaving us alone again in the dimly lighted room with all its long doors thrown open to the Rue Sainte-Anne. It was vintage New Orleans, the little establishment. Overhead, fans churned lazily, and the floor had not been cleaned in 100 years.